Father, by your Spirit, speak to us through your word, that we may hear and obey through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Good morning. It's a joy to be with you this morning. It's raining in Belfast, and it's slightly less rain here. I'm not sure what that says, but it's a joy to be with you. Easter Day is one of the strangest days in the Christian year. And we're quite sure we celebrate it the way we celebrate Christmas. We seem to find Christmas easier because Easter talks about some of the most difficult things, such as death. And from what I was trying to come with me to one of my childhood experiences, sitting in Ballyvester Cottage, just outside Donaghadee, in what was a lean-to, nowadays you'd call it conservatory. My grandfather sitting looking across Belfast Lock with his binoculars, and having worked in the shipyard, he could tell you every single boat that went up the lock and back down the lock, where it was coming from, where it was going to, what it was carrying, and the great joy he had in just getting that sense of perspective and context. Because when you realize where the boat's going to and coming from, it does give you a sense of context and purpose. The reason I tell you this story is because unless we get the context and purpose of it jars with so much of what we hear on our television and radio. I mean, the news this morning, and I deliberately listen to it every Sunday morning, with the possible conflict between the United States and North Korea. Terrifying. And yet we also hear of people dying in Sudan, Uganda, and various parts of Africa. We hear of the continuing conflict in Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, and I'm reminded so often of those wonderful words of Sean O'Casey in one of the lines of one of his plays when he says, and you need to do this in a Dublin accent, the world's in a terrible state of chaos. And what on earth does Easter say to that chaos and confusion and at times overwhelming, crushing sense of the world's events? Well, maybe if we get a glimpse of those early disciples, we might make some of those connections. Because I said on Friday night, and I mean this genuinely, we will never understand Easter morning unless we've really, really recognized what happened on Good Friday. These disciples watched the man they loved. They'd given up everything to follow him. He'd given them all kinds of hopes and dreams and expectations. He was going to change the world. He was going to turn upside down. He was going to get rid of Roman occupation. He was going to make their lives better. And he ended up being scourged, beaten, and crucified, an innocent man. And so on this first Easter morning, the disciples are coming to the tomb, not expecting the resurrection. They're still in that awful state of grief, and those who've been bereaved know how awful grief is. It devastates, it confuses, it bewilders, it leaves you numb, it leaves you guilty, it leaves you angry, it leaves you in an awful place of the world will never be the same again. That famous W.H. Auden poem, Stop the Clocks. It will never be the same again. And so this first Easter morning, they're coming here still in that state of grief, confusion, bewilderment, anger. And it's made worse because they can't find his body. And initially they think, as Mary tells us, they have stolen my Lord. They have stolen his body. And then slowly, imperceptibly, and eventually they begin to see, no, he is not here because he has risen. Now, it doesn't happen actually immediately the first Easter day. It takes a few days of Jesus appearing to them over and over again and eventually dealing with Thomas's doubts. And eventually they get the message, he is not here, he is risen. But it doesn't happen immediately at that first moment because the crushing events of their lives, it takes a while for the sun to shine and the dawn to break. I think that's exactly what the world needs to hear today. Somehow the world needs to rediscover, amidst its brokenness and its chaos and its pain and its injustice and its war and its famine, that Jesus Christ is alive. that he is not here, he is risen. That somehow the light of Christ, which came into the world in the tiny helpless child, as John's gospel tells it, the light came into the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus is still alive, and death could not defeat him. But what does that say to us, to the world, to the chaos? Well, in my mind, one of the things we need to rediscover, I suppose, particularly today in the context in which we live, is what the world needs to see outside is the light of Christ. The light of Christ that leads to new relationships, that leads to fractures being healed, that leads to forgiveness releasing hurt, that leads to new communities actually living life differently. But again, in our context in Northern Ireland, that seems at times to be really, really difficult. When so often we want to go backwards rather than forwards. But the light of Christ is still shining into that chaos. And the call of God's people is to live in that light and reflect it. One of the joys to me in these last few days has been a very small part of what was happening. And just to observe the connections taking place between this community here and the community outside. And the fact that many, many people felt welcomed and included and valued in this community. That's what resurrection does. Resurrection takes us from beyond ourselves, from our own comfort zones, from our own expectations, from our own demands, and says to us, actually, you're not here for yourself, but you're here for others. The calling in your life is to live for others, to serve others, to be the resurrection light that actually changes darkness and brings light. So as we celebrate resurrection this morning, the most wonderful God-given gift, when sin and death are defeated, the question we all have to ask in my mind is, what difference is this resurrection life going to make to me tomorrow and the next day? And how am I going to live this life differently? Because it strikes me that that very paradox of Easter, which is life cannot come before death. We see it the other way around as humans. Death comes after life. But actually, in this case, death comes before life. And for each one of us, that means dying to self. Dying to self. Being willing to serve others. Put others first. And also within ourselves to recognize our own brokenness and sin that needs God's cleansing and forgiveness. So let us celebrate this Easter morning. And despite the chaos and the brokenness of the world, let's continue to believe and to live as people who know the resurrection has happened. And the light is still shining and always will. Let us pray. Lord, as your first disciples discovered slowly and graciously that death was not the end, lift our eyes to see you in your resurrection power. Draw us to you that we may live lives that reflect the glory of the resurrection and that shine light into communities and places where you want to be and are already. Lord, inspire us and encourage us, remake us, renew us, and help us be resurrection people living for you, as we pray in your name. Amen.